Hello everyone, I'm Louis Vargas and you're listening to episode 29 of the Art Scene Podcast. Before I introduce today's guest, I wanted to first plug a few things going on here in the Bay Area. First, our friends at Bassarainer Gallery have a new show up titled Every Age Must Bring Forth Its Own, featuring works by Mary Elizabeth Yarbaugh and Mick Gaspy. Both use a variety of media materials to address the nature of symbols and the visual language of their design and efficacy. The show runs till June 30th at the gallery's location at the Minnesota Street Project, so check it out soon. Incline Gallery, a local alternative art space in San Francisco, is looking for your support in a new project they started with the Traction Company Art Collective in Philadelphia called the Philly by SF Artist Exchange. Funding is needed for a proposed exhibition that shows work by the Traction Company at Incline Gallery, and vice versa. For more details, please visit their GoFundMe page, which is posted on Incline Gallery's Facebook page. I'll also be sure to tweet out their link on the podcast Twitter account. Finally, I wanted to tell you about Copa Press's new endeavor called Copa Books and Video. They sell and buy used art, design, and architecture books, prints, videos, and ephemera. They are located at 716 Sacramento Street in San Francisco and are open Thursday through Sunday from 12 to 6 p.m. or Monday through Wednesday by appointment. All right, now today's guest is Stephanie Rolfs, an artist based here in the Bay Area. I've been trying to get her to come on for a while, and I'm happy to say that I finally was able to convince her and to find a time to do so. We talked about her background and her journey to the Bay Area, as well as where her influence for making art came from. We also discussed the unpopular topic and reality of financial hardships that may come with pursuing a career in the arts, which led Stephanie to co-creating The Stipend, a grant that helps artists or art collectives in the Bay Area who are planning exhibitions. And now, here's the conversation all about it. Finally glad I was able to get you on here. Every time I see you, I keep, and I say, hey, I'm going to. So first of all, how are things going?
Good.
You keeping busy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Busy, probably.
Yeah, because you make work, and occasionally I do see it out and about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have your own studio and everything, but I don't see it as much as I thought I would.
Yeah, me neither. No reason for that, but.
How's the Apple Life? Because I think you still work there, right?
Yeah.
What is it you do again for them?
I do video accessibility. So closed captioning and audio description for the blind.
How did you even get into that?
It's like a sort of a family tradition, I guess. My grandpa was an artist. He was a painter and like an illustrator back in the 50s, post-World War II kind of stuff. And my mom wanted to be an artist, and the way she tells it is he was like, that's a terrible idea. You're not good at this. So she got into typing, which is what women do, I guess, when they can't do something else back in the day. So she has been transcribing for art museums for a long time.
Yeah.
And I would help her with the overflow of that. So I just kind of got into this transcription and closed captioning thing and got a random email from Apple, and they were like, nobody does this, but we need someone to do it. So
how did they even know you did it?
It was on my LinkedIn. Like,
that's so
it was
random.
The most random shit. Like, I never applied for this job or anything. It was just like...
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. The internet does some random stuff sometimes.
It does. Yeah. It's got a mind of its own.
And how long you've been there? You've been there for a couple of years now, right?
It's been 3 years. Yeah.
Has it been, we went to tell everybody on who's hearing this, but we went to grad school together and we graduated at the same time, right? In 2014.
Yeah.
So you have immediately right there, were you just working from Apple at Apple?
No, I had a year of working like 7 days a week trying to scramble together art jobs. I worked at YBCA as a prep, which I loved. I worked in an art gallery. Like, I did a bunch of shit. And I was just working like crazy, and I still didn't have any money, and I didn't have a studio, and I was like, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
So this random opportunity, linked in its way into my life, and I was like, fuck it, I'll just try this out.
Yeah.
And then I ended up doing it for 3 years somehow.
You're not from the West Coast, right?
Technically, I am. Yeah, I was born in San Jose, but we moved to Long Island when I was six.
So that's where you spend most of
your... That's like where my personality comes from. Yeah. Genetically, I'm from there.
Well, how was it growing up in Long Island?
Because that's different from New York City, right?
It's super different. Yeah. It's great because you're close to New York City. You can get some of that. Like, you can go on your school field trips to the Met and stuff. And it's like, you know, you get more culture, I think, than you would in the similar suburbs somewhere else.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of strip malls and, you know, Friday nights at the diner and, like, real suburban friends in the yacht club kind of shit. You know, like, it's the suburbs real hard.
So you mentioned, you know, that your mother was kind of artistic in her own way, right?
And, yeah.
Yeah. And what about your dad? Like, what did he do?
My parents actually met at San Jose State because my mom was working in the wood shop and my dad was taking a ceramics class. So they're like real art school kids. But he was a film major and she was a painter. So my dad ended up working in television.
What did he do?
Graphics, like motion graphics.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he used to run camera for sports stuff and then he got into graphics. I think because we were living out here and it was like the beginning of digital graphic stuff. So that's how he got into that.
So like what kind of sports stuff was he doing graphics for? Like Sportsnet, like anchoring?
Well,
he would
run camera. So he would be like the guy pointing his camera at the football for like Monday Night Football.
Or stuff.
But then he got into I think he did the two helmets smashing together like Monday Night Football.
No way. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it was funny. We found an old VHS tape of his reel from like 1995 the other day. And it was like, oh, shit.
That's like the classic, head to head. Like,
It's real. Like spinning cubes, kind of like early graphics.
Yeah. Was he able to stay in like in the New York area for that? Or he had to travel sometime that
make him travel? Yeah, we moved to New York so he could work at ABC.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Right.
That's why we went there.
Yeah. Well, then he probably worked there around the same time as like... Brent Musburger and all those guys were like, you don't even know any of these people,
I don't
know
what you're talking about.
That's funny that you. Well, I mean, was your dad a sports fan? I would assume to be in that job, he had to be, right?
Yeah.
That's funny that
he ended up working in the news eventually,
right? And that was more he liked that more than the sports part of it.
I don't know which one he liked more. That was just like where he ended up.
Yeah,
you know, he's a real political guy, so I think he liked working in the news.
No, I'm surprised the sports stuff didn't rub off on you a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, and then so then you growing up, were you always trying to, like, even when you're obviously both your parents were very artistically inclined,
mm-hmm.
So were they always encouraging that for you as a kid, or like was that something on your own that you came up with and then they said, oh well, we also like art too, we're going to encourage this?
I think they're very, you know, my parents would drag us to museums all the time when we were little. My brother and I would like roll around in agony on the bench, like, you know, like, when can we leave this fucking Van Gogh retrospective? What a terrible thing. You know, your kids, we don't give a shit. But
yeah.
I think my parents were very into us being who we wanted to be, you know, so they don't push us towards stuff.
Yeah.
But they sort of push us away from normal stuff, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when I got this day job and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have health insurance, both my parents were like, I don't know, don't you want to stay poor, like that could be better. Fuck.
Complete opposite of my family.
It's funny, like, you know, your parents, everyone's parents always do something
right, some like, weird. Yeah,
they were encouraging. It never really occurred to me that art was a job until I was like in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I got more into it, and I was really lucky to have an art teacher who had been a professional artist and had actually been like an assistant to Alex Katz. And so he had real, like, this is a job. This is like, you can go to grad school for this. This is like a real thing. And I was going like, oh. So I think that's when I started taking it more seriously. But I was like 15, 16 by then. So I was a little late to kind of like really get into it, I think.
Yeah.
Like some kids are, you know, born.
Right.
They're drawing
like,
or
they're
whatever.
Like prodigies already.
Yeah.
Like five.
Yeah. I was like, oh, maybe I'll be a chef.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So then, you know, take me through your high school years. Like, what were you doing in terms of art? Were you just kind of doing simple drawings and paintings and kind of like whatever about it? And
I went to this really amazing after-school arts program that was pretty traditional, but also just like, it was an amazing opportunity for like a 16-year-old. So we had life drawing and we had oil painting and we had like modeling and clay, like mostly figurative stuff. You know, we had to learn how to make a head and how to make hands, and like there were all these like angsty figurative work kind of stuff, but it felt so serious to me. Like, it felt so like real. I was like doing art shit. Like, I started wearing overalls because I was like, I just wanted to work hard. You know, like, we all wore overalls, all the kids who went there. I don't know why. Yeah. But it was like this thing. But yeah, it was, I really I really enjoyed that. That became like a strong part of my high school identity, I think, was like being this art kid.
Yeah. Where did you end up going to college afterwards?
I went to Tyler School of Art in Philly, which is like part of Temple University.
Okay.
For my undergrad. I think like all Long Island kids, I really wanted to go to NYU, but my parents, to their credit, talked me out of it. And they're like, there's no fucking point in spending that much money on your BFA because that's a dumb degree. So don't do that.
So they were encouraging you, were they encouraging you to still have get a BFA if wanted it?
Yeah, totally.
It was just more of the practicality of the cost of
it. It was way, way, way more affordable to go to this other school. They were more supportive with financial aid and it was just cheaper in general.
I like that. Like, follow your dreams, but go the cheaper route.
Well, there's no point in like having a BFA and $50,000 in debt. Like,
It's a good point.
You know, I got out of school with like $10,000 in debt, which was pretty manageable.
Oh yeah.
Even though it still felt like a lot. Yeah. When I was like 20, but it turned out to be really good. I think I would have. It like broke that New Yorker kind of hold. You know, like
spending time in Philly.
You grew up on Long Island, and you're like New York City is the entire planet, right? Yeah. And then like being forced to live somewhere else is like, oh.
Yeah.
So that was really good. And they had a study abroad program, so I got a lot out of that school.
So is that really a thing, though? Like, you know, growing up in the New York area, thinking New York is the entire planet, like that is that attitude?
I think that's a thing.
I mentioned that because I grew up in San Diego and went to school in San Diego, but there were a lot of New York kids, Long Island kids, and New York City kids that went to school with us, and all they did the whole time was complain about how they missed New York and hated San Diego.
It's a really hard transition.
Yeah.
I hated Philly also. Especially because, like, in Philly, you can make a day trip to New York, you know?
Yeah.
And so then you come home and you're like, why? I lived in a really shitty part of town because I was, like, you know, art school broke and stuff. So I never loved Philly, but I did like my college experience a lot.
Yeah.
But I moved to Chicago after that, and I don't think I would have done that if I hadn't, you know, if I'd gone to NYU, I would have just never left New York. I'd have a terrible accent. I would be like married to a dentist or something, you know, like it'd be a whole different thing.
Well, what brought you to Chicago? Well, I guess before we get into that, let me ask about undergrad real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So for undergrad, you know, when you're getting your BFA, which is like, you know, in my experience, like there was no BFA, right? Most people, if they wanted to major in art, it was just a major, but it was still like a BA. You still had to take all the other classes and still all stuff. For the school that you went to, you were able to, I'm assuming, just solely focus on art most of the time, right?
Mostly. It was still a state school, so it wasn't like, you know, in SFAI, you don't have to take, I don't know, maybe you have to take math or something, but I had to take like a couple of maths, and I had to take like a couple of sciences.
Yeah.
You know, it was more of a little bit more of like a liberal arts thing, but it wasn't a BA for sure. It was mostly art classes.
Yeah. And what kind of work by then were you making? Like how much did your practice advance compared to like high school were you just falling more in love with it, you know, or were you more like, you still didn't know what kind of subject you want?
I think I didn't know, really. I think undergrad for me was a lot of, like, skill building. And I think by the end of it, where it was like, okay, like, apply these skills, I kind of stumbled.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating because I stumbled right in time for my BFA show, which was, like, the worst work that I did, like, ever. so embarrassing. And we had to have this critique, you know, and it's like they install it in the gallery, and you're like, oh, I can't stand by this at all. And it was so disappointing.
Did anybody like it at all?
No, it was bad. Like, it was objectively very bad.
What was it? What? Give me a sample. Give me a sample.
It was, like, really, really shitty abstraction, because I was like, I don't know what to do, so I guess abstraction painting, like.
Yeah.
I was still really trying to force myself to be a painter at that point,
mm-hmm.
Which I shouldn't have done, but I don't know. It's stumble. I mean, people stumble. It's not like a big deal, but the timing was unfortunate.
Yeah. I think it's cool that you were able to recognize that, because I knew kids even when I was an undergrad who were so into their work, they didn't even know that their work was crap.
Yeah. I think I maybe lean a little too far in that direction. You know, like I'm very critical of my own work, but this was definitely like objectively not good. But yeah, so, and then when I graduated, I was kind of like disillusioned and confused, and my boyfriend at the time was moving to Chicago, and I was like, cool, me too. Like, I don't know, whatever, I'm not doing anything else.
Yeah.
So
what would you do once you went to Chicago? Because there's a few years, right? Like before you went to grad school.
Yeah, there's 5 years in between for me.
Yeah. So what were you doing in Chicago?
More stumbling. Chicago was really good for me because I am inherently kind of an uptight person. Okay. And I like really needed to like fuck my life up.
Yeah.
So I like made a lot of bad decisions on purpose and I was like really poor, but I pulled out of it and I always had a studio, but I was always kind of like dabbly, you know, like I didn't show very much. It was just kind of like, it was a figuring out period, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
It was really good for me. And I think towards the end of it, I was like, all right, like you're doing this or you're not. And that was when I moved out here. I moved out here because everyone was constantly telling me, like, you're a California artist. Like, when I lived in Philly, when I lived in Chicago, people were like, your work doesn't really belong here,
yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm curious about this because we've talked about this even off the mic. You've mentioned this to me, this comment, where you felt like your work was more... So explain this to me because, and again, this is probably just my ignorance because not like I grew up in the East Coast, I grew up in the West Coast, so I probably think whatever I see on the West Coast is generally everywhere, but it took me to go to grad school to realize... There is a difference. Like the East Coast, like whatever the work that comes out of the East Coast is visually a little different. And there is a little bit of trends and tendencies that are very unique to that area.
Yeah.
So explain to me, like, you know, one, I guess, what kind of work were you now making in these 5 years where you're figuring yourself out that led people to be like, and by the way, like, because I'm assuming these are Chicago people telling you, oh, that's West Coast art.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know for people who are from the Midwest, how do you know that's West Coast art?
Well, I won't speak to like what East Coast or Midwest art is supposed to be or whatever, but right. I think that people, what people were picking up on in my work, a lot of it was the color palette.
Yeah.
Like, if you walk around in the Outer Sunset or something, like, a lot of the colors that I use are, like, the colors those houses are. It's
yeah.
that weird California palette of, like, washed-out pastel-y kind of, like, colorful
yeah.
still, you know, golden
yeah.
hour light kind of shit.
Yeah.
I think it was a lot of that. There's, like, a flatness. Like, I haven't painted anything with a shadow in, like, 10 years. You know, like, I just don't, like, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
And then I think there's kind of a conceptual, like... lazy, like playful conceptualness that's a little bit more West Coast than like on the East Coast. I think they take that a lot more seriously.
Yeah.
I think out here there's kind of like a little bit of like a whoopee cushion conceptualism or something, which I respond to more. Like I'm not into being super serious about stuff.
Well, how did you take that? Like when people are telling you that?
I think that, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, like obviously I agreed because I moved out here. So.
I mean, is that really kind of part of the reason why you moved out? Was like that really...
I really wanted to take it more seriously. I really felt like I had denied myself a lot of opportunities by kind of like spending so much time fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, I stand by that, like I said, but I do think it was like, I'm gonna do something else.
Yeah.
And I moved out here because I knew I wanted to go to grad school somewhere that I wanted to stay, you know, because like the networking aspect of grad school was really important to me. That was one thing that was hard for me in Chicago, not having that system. And I kind of figured like, I'll come out here. You know, before you apply to grad school, you think it's going to be hard. But, you know, so I was like, if I don't get in, like, at least I'll be there and I'll be involved or whatever, so.
Right. And why the Bay Area? Because, you know, you got L.A., you got...
I know.
You can go other cities, too, in Southern California, like San Diego or even Orange County.
I think it, you know, is a... Coming from outside California, it's an L.A., San Francisco choice.
Sure.
And I think being from Long Island, L.A. is never an option. You know, it's just like, ew, gross. Like, L.A.'s gross. I've never been there, but I know that I hate it. Like, that was my genuine take on L.A., and I love L.A. now, and I wish I had been less stupid, but that's just that Long Island is, like, real hard to wash off sometimes. Like, it's in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really like San Francisco. I mean, I love the weather here. I love the, you know, the nature and all that shit, and there's a great history of, like, kind of, like, more playful art, I think, experiences that, like, were really appealing to me because I kind of wanted to, like, I needed to, like, loosen up what I thought art making was. And SFAI in particular was, like, a really great choice for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. I guess that's a good way to put it, like, loosening up, I guess. Like, yeah, I didn't think about that. I was like, it was more playful.
That was helpful for me. It was, like, I mean, it's such a dumb thing to say, but, like, learning to take play and experimentation more seriously, like, as an end product even. Like, obviously as a process, but as like, oh, like you can do a thing and then like what's left over after that thing, you can just leave in a fucking pile on the ground and like that's your sculpture was like, oh, why don't I know this already? You know, like I should know this, but somehow I missed it.
Well, so you come out here and you go to grad school out here. What did you want to get out of that experience at the end of the day?
It's hard to remember now. I feel like my like thinking about grad school has changed having gone through that machine.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, obviously, like, I wanted some professionalization kind of stuff. Like I wanted networking.
Yeah.
I wanted the rubber stamp in case I ever, you know, before I realized what a fucking joke adjunct positions are and like what a scam that is. It's like an abusive system.
Why do you say that?
Because it's fucked up. It like totally devalues that labor. Yeah. And it's, you know, I don't understand why grad school costs so much money if the teachers can like hardly afford to teach there. Like it's deeply fucked, you know.
Do you think that's specific to maybe art schools? Like
No. I don't. I think it's specific to Western civilization. I don't know. It's a whole different podcast.
So then it sounds like a little bit of you thought, hey, maybe I can get an MFA, maybe even go the teaching route at a university, but then that kind of just, that...
I think that seemed more appealing before I kind of had, like, seen more what it was. I mean, I still think that, like, teaching is a, like, a generous act, and I also think it's, like, obviously super important, and I think teachers can get a lot out of it, too, but I think it just became clear. I was like, oh, this isn't what I want to do, like, for work.
Yeah.
That's
like to have a living. I think the quality of life that could go with that was just not appealing anymore, and realizing that it's not as fun.
Yeah, I think you have this idea of like, oh, like I'm gonna teach and spend all my time in the studio, and like all I'm gonna do is talk about art all day, and then it's like, oh, I'm gonna have to do that at six separate colleges for with no benefits,
right? And, until one of them gives you tenure,
then yeah, fine, but they won't, right? Like
another 30 years probably.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think that kind of was the thing where I was like, oh, I don't, you know, no thanks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think I really like what I said about wanting to loosen up. Like, I think that was a lot of it.
Yeah.
For me, it was like I just needed to get better at the way I thought about art. It's, you know, you don't learn really any skills in grad school. You just learn how to talk about shit. And like, you learn how to get deeper into your own practice and like take it more seriously and all that kind of stuff. But it's not like I was like, oh, I really want to learn how to weld, so I'm going to go to grad school. You know, like that's what you get a BFA for. Yeah.
Well, you know, so you graduate. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking? Like, you're thinking, I gotta find...
I'm thinking, I'm so tired. So, so tired.
I wasn't an MFA. I was an MA. And yeah, I can tell, I can confirm that I felt exhausted for like 3 months and I didn't want to do anything but just like go do fun stuff that was not related to reading or writing.
See the sun again. I don't really know what I thought. I got lucky in that I had a show lined up pretty soon after school. So I did have like a good kind of transitional momentum, which I think I did see a lot of people kind of get that whiplash of like, oh, I don't have anything.
Yeah.
I've been spending 70 hours a week in the studio and now I have to like go get a job. I'm like, what is that?
You know?
So.
Well, and if I remember, like you did do things in grad school that kind of, you tried to set yourself up with work experience. Cause I know you were, you co-directed like the gallery on campus with the Diego, right? The Diego
Before gallery. Even going to school, I was working at the lab in the Mission. And so I kind of like took that experience and then I was really interested in that kind of like artist run, even though it's not really like an artist run space, like that kind of like experience would translate through me into that. So yeah, like the Diego I was involved with, the student run gallery at SFAI. And we did that collaborative curatorial process with the CCA.
Right, the SFICA.
Whatever. And that was really great. Like everything, you know, I was interested in that kind of stuff. But I think by the end of grad school, I still knew like, oh, I want to run a space someday, but I want it to close in like 5 years. Like, I don't want this to be my life. But like, I really want to like have this in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I very much wanted to stay. Like, you need to do that kind of calculus of like, how much do I need to work in order to have enough money to do this other thing that I do for free, if not like at a loss, right?
Yeah.
And I've never been a person who had like family money or savings or anything like that. So it was like, okay, I have to, you know, self-finance this dumb kind of like expensive venture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not like a performance artist, so I need to like buy shit to make shit with.
Yeah.
And have space to put it in, you know, like, stuff like that. So I think I said I was working at YBCA as a preparator, art handler kind of stuff. Like, I love that, but it's, you know, every 3 months they switch the exhibits over or something. Yeah. So it's not like a steady gig.
Yeah.
I was working at a downtown art gallery, like doing admin kind of stuff. And that was fine, but didn't pay a whole lot, you know. And yeah, I was working on these shows, and luckily my roommate at the time was like at her boyfriend's house all the time, because I was just like sculpting in the living room, you know? It was unsustainable. Like, I eventually got to the point where I had a studio, and I remember being at work and literally crying in the bathroom because I realized that I had $50 a month to spend on like food and Bart. Yeah. And I was like, this is stupid. Like, I'm taking my vacation days from my gallery job to work at YBCA so that I can like make more money. And it was just like, what is this like?
Yeah.
If I'm doing all of this nonsense to support my art making, but I can't actually make any fucking art because I don't have the money or time or space. Like, yeah. What am I actually doing?
Yeah.
And kind of like right as I was at like peak, you know, crying in the bathroom, like work misery, I got that Apple email and it was like, hey, we're a tech job and we'd like to throw money at you. I was like, well, fuck. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to work there for a year. And then that didn't happen. So I don't, you know.
Well, it's interesting.
It's a little fuzzier.
It is interesting to me that because this seems to be a thing, and rightfully so. I mean, and it's not just you. There's a lot of artists who you seem to be very concerned with the money part of it, right? Like even the idea why you became totally like unenamored with the whole idea of teaching is because it's just like that way of life is not even really a sustainable way of living and making a living.
I would agree with you, but correct you that it's not that I'm concerned about the money. Like, I don't think anyone's in art to get rich.
No.
But you need, I think there's this weird thing in the art world where we all pretend it doesn't cost money to play this game.
Yeah.
And I spend a lot of time thinking about that lately. Like, that's my current.
Why is that?
I don't know where that comes from. I think it's something that we all, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, maybe historically used to be true or something, but I think everyone has this idea that you're just going to, like, be in your studio all day, like, making shit. And it's like, well, where does the money come from? You know, like, we live in one of the most expensive parts of the country.
Yeah.
I'll be paying for grad school until I'm in the ground, you know? Like, this shit's not free.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, I'm not trying to, like, be focused on money, but I think even just being honest about it, like, feels like I'm talking about it a lot.
Well, I guess, like, when I say you're focused on it, not so much in that, I think that you're interested in just making money. I think more of like you're concerned with the issue of the financial hardship to want to pursue a life being an artist or being in the arts is what it seems like. And because I've spoken to a lot of people on this podcast, and they talk about grad school and stuff, but maybe they barely touch on the reality, which I agree with, and that is that, that's great, I'm doing all this art stuff, but I got, like, thousands of dollars of student loans that I have to pay off, and that's the thing people don't really talk about.
I think it's age, too, a little bit, because I'm, like, I'm 34 now, and, you know, when I was, like, 24, I think I made, like, $18,000 a year, and I was just like, fuck it, you know? I'm gonna do whatever I want, and then I was like, okay, I haven't been to the dentist in, like, 10 years, when you get to this point. Where you're like, I don't think I can do this forever. Like, at a certain point, I need to find a way to make this sustainable and actually, like, nurture it and not just have it be this weird, like, point of stress. And also, I was doing City Limits at the time. And, like,
right. That's right.
So I was paying for rent in this expensive-ass part of the city. I was paying for gallery rent. I was paying for studio rent. I was doing all this stuff. And it was like, I'm just, like, bleeding money here.
Yeah.
And I was really happy and excited to like have those opportunities, but it was also like, shit, I can't do this for very long unless I find money.
Yeah.
I don't feel like, I don't know. I think there's a weird tendency to not talk about that stuff. And I don't know if it's like, I'm going to listen to this podcast. God, you sound gross.
Well, I think
just trying to be honest.
No. And I think that's that's why I'm asking all these questions. I love that you're being honest about it because it really is a thing that people don't really talk about.
Yeah.
But people really do struggle with this. And I think especially in the Bay Area, I live in San Francisco, like at a time where the rent's going up like every year.
Yeah.
Like people getting pushed out of places that they live, particularly if we're talking about the art world, art galleries shutting down for a while because they couldn't afford the rent after they've been there for how many years, like so many years. And it's all correlated. I mean, a lot of it is. It's like at this, you know, you want to be able to open an art gallery and run it, but how the hell are you going to do that if you still got to pay thousands of dollars of student loans at an art school that's more expensive to go to than a normal university? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I was getting my BFA, and the professor is saying, like, don't go to grad school unless it's free. You know, like, they'll pay you to go to grad school. They'll pay you to be a TA. Like, you can come out on the positive end of that. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know? Like, I don't know anybody who did that. I'm sure someone does, but like, I fucking didn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it did on purpose. It's not like it tricked me, but
yeah,
it's just a reality.
So, now you got this Apple job to help you out.
True.
And how have you felt having, I mean, you have this Apple job. You seem to enjoy it enough to
I feel like I should be clear that I work for a subcontractor. Yeah. I don't want to like get fucking sued.
Well, you work there.
Yes, work in that building.
And you know, and so far you've been able to, I mean, have you felt since then you were able to then kind of get a more of an income where you can enjoy, now you can have your studio, you can go back to kind of enjoy making art?
I think so, yeah. It's been, you know, it's been a real mixed blessing.
Yeah.
You know, there's that little pyramid that everybody, a little art pyramid of like time, money, or space.
Oh, right.
Like you can only have two of those things, yeah. You know, so now I don't have time is the thing.
It's the time, yeah.
But, you know, it's been really helpful in a lot of ways. Like the studio that I have now is like the most space that I've ever had, and you know, I'm able to put a kiln in it, so I can like kind of make this. I've been wanting to make ceramics for years, and I haven't been able to physically, so that's really exciting for me. But yeah, I mean, until I win the lottery, like it's always going to be that balance of like work and money and time, and
yeah,
you know, all that shit.
Well, tell me now that you know you mentioned you have a kiln. Well, like, tell me now where your work is at right now, because has it. Since grad school, has it changed much in terms of what you tend to make your work about, or? Because you have, after we just talked about all these experiences and hardships that you in the last.
I mean, hardships is strong, but.
Well, I say that a little, but like.
Making fun of me.
But you know, I mean, obviously that stuff kind of, you know, that has to seep in a little bit, right, into your work, or does it not?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not thinking about it,
yeah.
In the studio. I mean,
you tried not to think about it. Like that.
I think I'm just not thinking. Like, it's just not part of like that process. You know, like when I'm making a sculpture, I'm not like thinking about, you know, this clay cost me $17, and then I have to, you know, like it's not like that. Like,
yeah,
there's a very clear wall between like what happens in there and then like how I make that happen. I think.
Yeah.
I think most of the changes have just been material. Mm-hmm. I have drawn a lot less since I got out of grad school. I was drawing a lot of things, a lot of gouache and paper work. I think I was into that because you can kind of, you know, with drawing, you can create whatever the fuck you want. It doesn't have to be practical in any way. Like, I was drawing a lot of objects, but they weren't objects that I could physically make because of, like, gravity and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Crazy things. So I think I got more into investigating those things in the real world, like, actually making them. And trying to still make them look awkward and out of balance, and you know,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if it's changed as drastically as I kind of like thought it would. I think it's been kind of consistent, which in a way is like, oh, I'm doing what I want to be doing. You know, I think I used to vacillate a lot more when I was like more confused about what I was thinking about.
Yeah. So your work is interesting to me because, like your background, it's very diverse. Like you do a lot of you do drawings, you've done fine prints, you do sculptural work.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see something new of yours, it's completely different from the thing before. Mm-hmm. Aside from the colors that you mentioned, which
are really consistent.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing. Yeah.
And I really like them. I mean, and again, as a West Coast person, maybe that is true. What they said, like, oh, this is more a West Coast thing, but I mean, I really like the colors. I mean, that for me, that's what does it. I think that's why no matter what medium you end up using for your work, I think the colors is what attracts me the most. But for you, like, you know, is there a specific medium that you like using more than the other? Or do you like being, like, having a diverse amount of mediums that you can use?
I actually wish that I was more diverse. Like, I wish that I had more technical skills.
Yeah.
I'm kind of an amateur fabricator in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I like that awkward lumpy thing, but sometimes it's like, man, I wish I could just like make this right if I wanted to, you know, like it'd be nice to be able to do that sometimes. I'm a slob. I do like to be specific, I think, with pieces. So I like having what little diversity of skill I do have. Lately I've been really into combining ceramic clay with that epoxy kind of plastic clay.
Yeah.
It looks like one medium, kind of, if you like paint it or glaze it or whatever, but you can get it to do some weird stuff that doesn't quite look right. I think I've also gotten more into, I think as a female artist, I have a little bit of a desire to not make work about bodies, because I feel like that's kind of like the cliche thing.
Yeah.
But I also keep making work about bodies, so I don't really know where to put that.
My favorite is the one with the fingers that like are kind of mimic a penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are great. I'm making a lot of like pubic hair stuff right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that, like, I don't know where that's coming from.
Right.
But I mean, it's probably pretty obvious that it's like, oh, women aren't supposed to have any pubic hair, so I'm going to make a lot of it, right? It's like my super lame rebellion against that. But I just like the, I like things that feel awkward. I like things that feel like they're not like anthropomorphized necessarily, but maybe like more of a self-contained thing, you know, like something that seems like, if you're looking at it as the viewer, it's like almost by mistake that you're there, like that this thing kind of exists without you, not necessarily for you.
Yeah.
I think that's a kind of feeling that I like a lot.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, it's just like a way to get around making art or something, you know? I'm just like making stuff now. It's like less pressure or something. I don't know why. I think I, you know, in grad school, I fell into that kind of like object-oriented ontology hole that everybody falls into for 15 minutes. And it was kind of like, oh, like, what is it like to be a sculpture? You know, like, whatever. But it's hard to shake that kind of thought, like, when you're in the studio. And I work with live plants a lot. So, like, they actually have experiences as a sculpture that, you know, piece of wood doesn't necessarily have unless you're really getting into it.
It's true. And people, you know, and gardeners, like, love growing, making plants grow in a certain way to fit a certain shape that they want, right?
It's like a weird thing that people do, that they think that all that stuff is so natural, and it's like,
no,
it's like just the tendrils of human influence are like everywhere in the world, and you just don't see them until you're like, oh, like these trees aren't supposed to look like that.
Yeah. One of the things I also wanted to talk to you about was the stipend.
Yeah.
Because that's really interesting, which I didn't know that you had started that, but I think you're in the second year of doing it, right?
Yeah, so it's myself and Will Kuhn, who's an artist also, Bay Area artist, and this guy Matt Caracini, he was part of it too, and he's, I think, backed off a little bit. But yeah, we've done five now, and what it is every 3 months is it's a small grant that we just give away to a working artist who has a public exhibit coming up.
Yeah.
So
how did you come up with the idea? Like, which is funny question to ask now after having this discussion about.
Right. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
I think so. Will actually is someone who we had shown at City Limits. That's how I came into contact with him. I somehow hadn't actually like physically met him, even though his work was in the space.
Yeah.
And then we ended up getting connected through a mutual friend. And he ended up working at Apple also in the photo department. And so we were kind of like sitting around at work and being like, what the fuck? Like, it's really hard to be an artist with a job. It's really hard to be an artist without a job. What the fuck? We were just talking about like ways that we could support things. And I had left City Limits at that point to try to focus more on studio time. But I was feeling like I was being selfish. Like, I wasn't really doing anything for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of missed that community aspect of it. So we were just sort of like thinking about what could we do. I don't remember how we came up with this. It was like honestly like the least amount of effort that we could expend to help people is like, let's make a website. Let's like throw some money in a jar.
Yeah. Well, I like this because also, you know, and I'm just going to say it, it's very unselfish of both of you because you both were and sometimes are in the situation where like, man, I wish I had a little bit more money. But for art supplies or whatever. But for you to basically raise money for other artists who are your contemporaries and your colleagues, some of them, right? I would assume. Like for them to be able to do that, I mean, that's pretty like noble, I think. And you're right. For me, it's a great thing that you're doing for the art community. I'm curious because I think it was $340 or something like
it's
that.
Like $450.
I saw on the $450, like on the website. Like, you know, like you just started this. It's not like you have been doing this for very long, but do you have any grander plans for it in terms of like maybe like, you know, one day you're hoping it could be more than just $450 per person?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. There's a donate button on the website if anybody wants to bump that up for us. But right now, like, that's kind of where we feel like we can like sustain our lives.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's like, of course it would be great to do more, but I think it's important to like still do what you can do, even if you can't do the most.
Yeah. I think that's very important to point out. Like, you don't have to have $1 million to be able to do something like this.
Yeah. And it's also like, I mean, like, I've been pretty broke before, and like $400 is like a lot, you know? Like, I remember asking my parents for like money to frame shit because I had a solo show, and I was like, I don't know. Like, that's part of the reason I stopped making flat work, was like, fuck framing. You know? Like, I can't afford to not sell this shit if I frame it, and I'm probably not gonna sell it. So like,
yeah,
I'm making sculptures, I can just throw them out when I'm done.
Yeah,
you know?
But you know, but that, so it's good to point out that, because I, for instance, I like your flat work, but if that's part of it, that, you know, you're probably not the only person to do that, right? You're probably, there's tons of artists who said, I would love, I know I make beautiful paintings, but I can't, because I literally can't afford to frame it to show it to you all.
Yeah.
And I have to change a little bit what I do.
I think it's a consideration. I mean, I don't think it's like anything unique to at all, but yeah, I mean, if you're smart, you know, you can reuse frames, you can learn how to make frames. I don't really know how to do that, so maybe that would be one of those skills I should learn.
Yeah,
but I think it felt like something that we could do, and it was like dumb to not do it. So I don't know how long it's gonna last or what. I mean, it's still like kind of just like a random project.
And what kind of you know, what shows or artists have the money has gone to help out?
Yeah, well, we just, the most recent one was for Ben Quinn. We went to Kate Bonner first, I think. Sophia Cordova, Marian Youssef, and Maria Guzman Capron.
Yeah. Any places that they've shown at that you know about?
So they have to be having or recently have had a show.
Yeah.
And that's just because we want it, there has to be some kind of like guideline, I guess, for like what counts as like a working artist or something. Even though like I consider myself an artist and I don't show a whole lot, you know, I wouldn't get this. But yeah, so it's, the money doesn't have to be used for that show. It doesn't, like, I don't need, like, we don't need receipts or whatever. It's not, like, that kind of grant, but it's just, like, are you professionally an artist? Cool. Like, here's when you're eligible. So I think one show was at Et Al, City Limits, RSF.
So long-term, because you've, like, I'm going to bring it up again, you not only just make art, you're not just an artist, you've ran a gallery, you've helped run a gallery with City Limits.
Yeah.
You do this, I mean, it's this like basically this grant program, right? Mm-hmm. You started. I mean, you're involved in three different three different ways, you know, that you can be involved with in the art world. You know, the future. You know, what does the future look like for you? Like, do you see yourself just wanting to be able to have a life, but then still be able to afford to continue making art? Do you see yourself using the skills that you've accumulated in the last 4 or 5 years, but to work at an art institution, not necessarily a museum, but like a YBCA type of place, you know, doing programming and fundraising? Like, do you see yourself doing something like that?
I don't know. Honestly, I'm less interested in the like job part of my life right now. And I think that's kind of a luxury for me. Like, historically it's always been like, fuck, what am I going to do for money? Fuck.
Yeah.
I think like I'm at a moment in my life where I can kind of be like, okay, what do I actually want to do? And like, what I want to do is be in my fucking studio all the time.
Yeah.
So I think I'm more invested right now in figuring out a way to make that happen.
Yeah.
I think I've shed my kind of original desire to like have a cool art job.
Yeah.
Which I still, you know, would love to do, but I think for me, the studio has become more important than what I do for money, I guess.
Yeah.
Which sounds a little gross, but so I don't really know. I don't know what comes next, I guess. I think I'm probably at a transitional point right now, but I don't have it like planned out well enough to really say.
Well, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. Is that it?
I mean, do you have more to talk about? We can go on for like a good.
No, that's okay. That was pretty painful.
Yeah. No, I think it was, you know, to wrap it up, I think one of the many of the reasons I wanted to have you on here was I wanted to talk about these things because we do talk. You have mentioned these things to me and a little bit, but I also knew aside from making art, you do all these other things that, you know, I work at a museum and I can tell you like some of the people I work with don't even have half that experience that you've done. And, you know, and so it's very, I think someone with your skills is very, can make a big difference in the art community, which is great that you're doing this stipend thing because I think that's a cool way that you're doing that.
Well, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. And
yeah, I mean, it feels like a really small gesture. So.
Yeah, which I think, you know, that type of small gestures can influence other people to like to keep it going and do it themselves, and then hopefully it just grows.
That is one thing. That is one thing that I did. Like, I love that about the Bay Area is that there is this kind of like sort of punk rocky, like do it yourself kind of. You know, like it's been nice to see more and more apartment spaces and little project spaces pop up because it's like, like let's all do this.
Yeah.
Together. Nobody's buying this shit here, so like, no. You know, we all need to self fund these little scrappy projects and we all need to support them. So.
Yeah, and I don't think they get enough attention because I think that's really the foundation of that art movement here because it's like you can get rid of the galleries because we can't pay the rent, but it's okay, we can just do ourselves somewhere else.
There's a lot of good programming happening in like, you know, less traditional spaces.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Cool, all right.
Cool.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and thanks again to Stephanie for coming on. For more info about her work, visit her website at stephanierolls.com. To donate to the stipend, or if you want to learn more about it, visit thestipend.com. Please be sure to visit the podcast website at artscenepc.com to either listen to past episodes or check out photos of all the guests that I've had on the podcast. And lastly, if you listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and you like it, please leave a comment. It helps get it more exposure. All right, till next time.